Shall we call the meeting to order? John, can you hear us?
Yes, I'm here. I can hear you. Thank you.
Very good. Can we have a roll call, please?
Chairman Beasley?
Here.
Vice Chairman Latchford?
I'm here by phone.
Commissioner Kill? Commissioner Kill? Commissioner Will?
Here.
Commissioner Silverson?
Here.
I'm going to read the call to audience so that everybody understands what's going on with the blue cards. At this time, any member of the public is allowed to address the commission on any issue not listed on today's agenda. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, individual commission members may ask town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticism made by speakers. However, the commission may not discuss or take legal action on matters raised during the call to audience. In order to speak during the call to audience, please specify what you wish to discuss when completing the blue speaker card. I have a lot of blue cards here, and virtually all of them are associated with topic three, which is golf. So per that statement and per the town policy, per the Finance Commission policy, we are not going to take any discussion from the audience having to do with golf items because it's on the agenda for our discussion. Is that clear? You may not like it, but that's what it is. No.
Mr. Chair, Chairman Beasley.
Yes, John.
John Latchford here. I'm having some difficulty hearing you. We seem to have some comeback here on the system.
Okay. John, maybe if you mute your phone, unless you want to get involved in terms of discussion with the meeting, that should take care of that problem. That's what the technical experts are telling me here.
You repeat. All right.
At this time, any member of the public is allowed to address the commission on any issue not listed on today's agenda. Golf is a topic that was placed on the agenda by the town staff. And that's what we, as a commission, are discussing today as one of the primary items. Now is the time for the council member liaison report and comments.
Thank you, Chair Beasley. I appreciate that. I'd like for those individuals who are here this evening.
Please
it's
stop.
Not,
I don't want to have to
call
them.
Please.
That's certainly a part of the democratic process. I think the forms are in the clerk's office. But I'd like to announce, inform, I think many of you know that July 24th, we're going to have a special session at the Church of the Nazarene. That will begin at 6 p.m. There'll be a short presentation. The majority of that evening will be reserved for community input. There will be some time reserved for the council to speak, but the majority of the time will be reserved for the community to provide their input on the topic of golf. July 31st, there will be another town council meeting. The topic of golf will be a part of that meeting as well, and you'll have another opportunity to address the council. That's my report, Chair Beasley. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
How many of your boards and commissions place an item on the agenda and don't allow no one that has showed up to talk about that to discuss anything?
Please. Please, you know. You've worked for the town before. You can't have this discussion now. It's a violation of the open meeting law. Please.
May we have a review and discussion of the financial statements, please?
You'll have to defer to our attorney.
No, all the, your discussion items should be addressed on the 24th at that time.
Would that information require change in any budget commission input?
Aren't they voting on the 24th, though?
No.
Not necessarily. I don't know.
Not necessarily.
You don't know your attorney.
Please, can we have some decorum here?
No.
The answer is no. Please, we have business we need to discuss as a commission.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. I am pleased to report to you the update of the financial status through the month of May of 2019. And all funds in your packet materials show a positive outlook and are exceeding budget expectations throughout this fiscal year to date so far. Starting with the general fund, put together a brief slideshow that addresses some of your requests from the last meeting that shows how we are progressing compared to the same time last fiscal year.
Excuse me, Stacy. Mr. Chair, I think we need to move to return to the orders of the day, which would focus on approving the minutes from the previous.
Yeah, I was going to let you get through that one and move back, but that's fine.
I've blown that one. You didn't catch me. That's why we have him here. Has everyone had a chance to review the minutes? Any comments, corrections, additions? Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
All right. Those minutes are approved. I'm sorry, so we'll now move to the financial.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. Starting with the general fund through the month of May, this chart depicts the revenues that we've received in the first set of columns and the expenditures that we've incurred in the second set of columns there. The first bar shows the previous year actual amounts, and the middle bar shows the current year actual amounts, and the blue bar on the last is the current year budget, adopted budget. This year, through the month of May, the general fund has received revenues in the amount of $35.9 million, compared to $34.5 million last year at this time, compared to an adopted budget of $38.9 million. The expenditures, the town has expended $34.5 million this year compared to $30.6 million last year through the month of May. And the adopted budget this year in the general fund is $42 million. The higher amounts that you see in the current year for revenue collection and expenditures is primarily tied to the fact that we consolidated the bed tax fund operations into the general fund in the current fiscal year. And so you're seeing that revenue being generated in the general fund, as well as those some of those related expenditures. Just a few highlights in the general fund. Our local sales taxes are trending over budget at this point by about $564,000, and that's due primarily to largely construction sales tax collections, one-time construction sales tax collections in the fund. Also, license and permit revenues are trending over budget by about $224,000. State shared revenues are trending over budget by about $77,000. And overall, our revenues are estimated to end the year over budget by about $843,000. Our expenditures are estimated to end the year under budget by $2.2 million. A few of the areas attributing to this, attributable to this overage include the rebate for the Oral Valley sales tax rebates, Oral Valley Marketplace sales tax rebates. Those ended in December, and that results in a savings to us of about $260,000 this year. We're also seeing strong revenue growth in the highway fund. Therefore, the budgeted subsidy transfer to the highway fund from the general fund is not needed. So that's a savings to the general fund of $550,000. And then just overall, within the departments, we're seeing savings in the utilities category, our fleet maintenance category, elections, outside professional services, and personnel, and just overall judicious budget management by the departments. At year end, we expect the fund balance in the general fund to be estimated at $16.6 million. In the highway fund, we've collected revenues through May of $3.4 million compared to $3.2 million that we collected last year through the month of May, compared to an adopted budget this year of $4.1 million. We've expended $2.9 million this fiscal year compared to $3.3 million expended last fiscal year for an adopted budget of $4.6 million. The lower expenditures this year are primarily tied to the receipt of property taxes that were dedicated to road pavement preservation purposes from the county that assisted in our pavement preservation program this year. Just a few highway fund highlights. Our state shared gas tax revenues are trending over budget by $328,000. Overall, our revenues are estimated in this fund to end the year under budget by $227,000, and that's primarily due to not needing the subsidy transfer from the general fund. The expenditures are estimated to end the year under budget by $312,000, and our year-end fund balance is estimated at $528,000. And finally, within the Community Center Fund, we've collected revenues of $6.2 million this year compared to the same, roughly the same amount collected last year through the month of May. The budget in this fund was $6.7 million for revenues. In the expenditure category, we've spent $5.4 million through the month of May this year compared to $5.9 million spent last year through the month of May, and compares to an adopted budget of $6.6 million in this fund. Overall, our total revenues in the Community Center Fund are estimated to end the year over budget by about $22,000. And total fund expenditures are estimated to end the year under budget by $315,000. And the year-end fund balance in this fund is expected to be at about $354,000 at year-end in the Community Center Fund. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Any of the commissioners have any questions for Finance Director?
Chairman Beasley and Ms. Lamas, I have just a couple of questions, if I may.
Go ahead, John.
Ms. Lamas, I see that in the general fund, you're estimating that at the end of the year, we're going to finish up with a balance of about $6,000 positive, and that certainly reflects very solid numbers. I noted that in your estimate, you're anticipating $1.2 million almost in transfers out from the general fund. Did that occur? Did we make that?
Vice Chair Latchford, the estimated transfers out have not been made yet to meet the $4.2 million year-end estimate. We will make those and finish making those up in June, the month of June. But the overall year-end estimate includes making those transfers out at year-end. All of those transfers out are expected to be made for debt service into the capital fund. And the only real savings on that transfers out line item is the operational subsidy transfer to the highway fund that we will not make, as I mentioned in my presentation.
Right. Gotcha. Okay. So we should count on that happening for the end of the year.
That's correct.
My second question, back to the community center fund just for a second. I noted that specifically in the golf revenue, that member fees seems to be underperforming the budget for the year. And that's, of course, something we've seen in prior months. Is there any current specific actions being taken to try to turn that around? Have you talked to Troon about that?
Yes, Vice Chair Latchford. Troon is, I believe, constantly working on the membership, achieving additional membership. They have a dedicated position and a membership director. That is their job, is to generate memberships and sell memberships. I do know that they've been actively marketing the golf programs, the golf benefits that the members are able to take advantage of through Troon Privé. And so they're always trying to take a look at, you know, ways to market those memberships and take advantage of folks that may have been members or may have played over at other courses in the area and bringing them on board. And so that's an area of constant attention that I know that we've seen Troon manage.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Ms. Namus. That explains everything. Thank you. I hope that they're successful. I do want to commend the staff for solid results for the year. Chairman Beasley, that ends my questions for the report.
Thank you, John.
Commissioner? Two questions. Stacy, I think we're always wondering when the dates of those interfund transfers are going to happen. I think in general it might help just to reduce the amount of confusion, and if we were able to publicize when the anticipated payment dates on those were more regularly, just so that we don't have disinformation that the transfer fund hasn't been made from this fund to another. So given my assumption from your previous statement, I assume that when I ask you, is the $120,000 payment from the community center fund back to the general fund, that is scheduled for the end of the fiscal year, correct?
That is correct,
okay.
Yes.
Again, I think it would help if we could have an anticipated payment date on those in the future. Second is, I'll re-ask a question I've asked every single meeting. And it appears that looking at the end of the year projections from Troon, that they again, they seem to be underreporting their projection for the last month. Have they given you any indication that the good results that they've seen in public play are going to disintegrate for the month of June, or are they under-projecting, overperforming again?
Member Newell, no, they are very close to being on target with their year-end projections. In fact, just received a draft of their June financials today, and they have slightly revised the year-end estimates, but it's very much in line with the $1.674 million net loss as projected here in this right. Document.
The reason I ask is because their projection from last month anticipated that they were going to collect 20% less revenue from daily fee play than last year. And I just don't see that the historical record from this year is that would be in line. So
those numbers are in line. In fact, June is typically a low revenue, higher expenditure month because of the water costs and the work on the golf course that they're doing when they shut them down, as well as the golf play due to the weather. And so we've seen that June was a very hot, dry month, and so we have seen those numbers align with their year-end projections.
Stacy, when will we have the year-end numbers available?
Those will probably be available in September.
Are there any other questions or comments for Stacy? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next item on the agenda is the review and discussion of the projections for the golf course.
Mr. Chairman and members of the Budget and Finance Commission, it's my privilege to just briefly summarize the information that has been provided to you in preparation for this meeting. What was posted and is available, of course, to the community online are backup materials that were provided to the Town Council over the last 2 months. At your last meeting, you reviewed the May 24th memorandum that that I provided to council. In that memorandum, my team and I did was provide an outline and overview of the different options for the major options and the financial numbers associated with them. From a perspective of the a point in time of the operation of those courses or the operation of the courses, what would be the first full year following construction. So in that memorandum, it outlined very specifically pros and cons, major pros and cons, as well as the costs. We also outlined the estimated cost per acre for capital investments. We estimated the estimated cost per acre for the ongoing maintenance of both natural open space and different versions of recreation park space. And then July 8th, I submitted a subsequent memorandum to council regarding three things. One was a no golf option, which was added, and so those numbers that were included in the May 24th memorandum, which specifically identified, again, the cost per acre, that sort of thing, were then calculated based on a variety of assumptions, pros and cons, again, all that information provided. And also, and this was something that the Budget Finance Commission requested at your last meeting, which is a single table showing side by side each of the different options. And at that point, what we had to do is pick a midpoint. Much of the information that we provided is a range. There are ranges because there are a lot of things that could come into play depending on the final solution. And so out of those variety of ranges for different options, some calculations were made, and that information has all been specified in that side-by-side comparison for each of the options. So, and then we also provided a 10-year forecast, estimates projected out 10 years from, again, that snapshot in time, the midpoints of ranges, and then we also estimated some projected increases both in costs as well as revenues based on information from Troon, projections, experience that we have, 5 years worth of experience that we have on the staff now that the town has been operating it for 5 years. And so those were the last three components of the information. So today, we understand that there's a lot of information in there. There's a lot. This was a total of probably 20 pages worth of memorandums and spreadsheets and whatnot. So we recognize that there's going to be some significant conversation. Ms. Lemos and I are certainly available to answer any questions if there are any specific questions regarding things that are more in the purview of Troon. We will have to follow up with you potentially. We have a lot of that information at our fingertips, but if we don't have that at our fingertips, we'll be happy to circle back with you in a follow-up memorandum or at a later date. So with that, Mr. Chair, we stand ready to assist you in any way in your conversation.
I noticed that there is a projected annual debt service for the borrowing for some of the capital expenditure. I noticed that there is a debt service line. What interest rate was applied on that?
Mr. Chair, based on our historical issuances and the fact that we had just issued bonds back in the fall of 2018, we utilized an interest rate of 3.5%, the tax-exempt rate that we feel is an appropriate rate for us to assume.
So then when you did the projected debt service, what you've got is just an amortization of principal and interest payment over this time frame?
Yes, that is correct, and it's a 20-year assumption for the maturity.
Did you have a question, John?
You know, I'm sorry. I'm not picking you up very well. I'm not sure exactly what you just discussed. I think your mic was off, Jim.
Okay. I asked the question having to do with the implied interest rate for the borrowing associated with the capital expenditure programs. And Stacy indicated it was about 3.5%, if I can answer it that way. Is that correct? Okay.
Okay. I guess I could start with a question. Thank you for that, Jim. Chairman Beasley asked Ms. Lamas or Ms. Jacobs. Your projections really indicate a straight line increase of revenue over the next 10 years. And I know it's fairly modest. After the first 5 years, how does that get substantiated by the performance that we've had with the facility for the last 5 years? I couldn't locate that information. Does it help substantiate why we're showing an increase that's, while gradual, is continual based on what we've seen in the last 5 years? Does that make sense?
Vice Chair Latchford, this is Stacy. In looking at those assumptions for the revenue growth, what played into the assumptions, I believe we assumed a 5% increase over the first 5 years or so, and then a 2% increase for the remaining years. And what really played into those assumptions is, again, you know, working with Troon and also taking a look at the fact that there is a need for definite improvement in the infrastructure in the golf courses with new irrigation and just improvements to the overall courses. And so the assumption was made that once those improvements and that investment was made in those courses, that there would be a twofold impact. One would be that there would be more interest in play of the course based on Troon's experience in other courses and areas, that there would be more interest because of the conditions of the course, but that also there would be the additional ability for Troon to increase day play rates as well as potential member dues to justify the the value that the investments are being made in the course. And so just from that multi-pronged approach there, that was where the assumption came to assume the 5% increase.
So as a follow-up to that, Stacy, the 5% increase then, is that fee generated or member generated or combination?
That is a combination, and so there's an assumption that I believe that 5% member due increase is factored into next year's budget already, and then there was another 5% assumption increase factored in as well. And then just overall, over the remainder of the early years that the course would be open post-renovation, that there would be additional, 1%, 2%, and 3% increases that would drive those revenues early in the early years.
Mm-hmm. The reason I asked that question, Stacey, I'm going back and looking at the 2017 consultants report in detail. They clearly seem to make the case that the economics of the golf marketplace, particularly in Oro Valley, wasn't so strong as to support major increases in prices, and that it really was a competitive marketplace and that we were having to fight an overcrowded marketplace with supply with the demand that was coming in. And I'm wondering, are we feeling comfortable? I mean, we must feel comfortable that we're going to be looking at increases in the future. But oftentimes when you increase a price of a product, sometimes you lose the purchaser of the product. And I'm wondering, did you have any discussions about whether we could sustain the membership and the daily fee play with these increases, or whether we took a look at whether we'd lose some of that market?
Really, the revenue assumptions were really based on, you know, Troon's professional experience and what they've seen in the marketplace after potential renovations have been done to courses, and just based on their experience being experts in the field. So we didn't really question those assumptions. We just, you know, again, It's one of those areas where that's why we included a range of plus or minus 10% in the overall bottom line, was because there may be some flexibility in the future for us to adjust revenues and or expenditures to come in line. As we've done in the past 5 years operating this facility, we've been able to actively manage the budget, and so that's what why we included that plus or minus 10% as well in our projections.
Stacy,
quick
question, just to follow up. Back of the hand, my estimate, remembering the consultant's report from 2017, a 5% increase in daily fee play would be about $2 a round. Is that an accurate $2, $2.50 a round? Is that about an accurate number?
Unfortunately, I don't have those daily round dollar amounts in front of me, but it's also based not only on the fees that are charged, but also on the additional volume of golfers as well.
Sure. One of the difficulties I have with this forecast is that it's showing me that 36 holes may be more optimal than 27 versus 18, as an example. Which I disagree with, because it goes contrary to, one, the consultant's study. Number two, it's been demonstrated that we have not been able to fill up 36 holes. So how do you get there?
Not with the uncertainty.
Please, decorum.
Backpatch.
Mr. Chair, so the reason, as you know, with a membership-oriented golf course, we have rainproof revenue that comes in. And again, the estimate for the operation of the golf course for the 36 holes was based on about the same number of members at that first point in time. Okay, so we start with that snapshot in time. And then the projection, the 10-year projection, was simply 8 members per year for the first 5 years, and then a 2% increase after that. So a modest number of members to increase, but it also included a continuing increase of our number of day play players, which is again at that 5%. So we're assuming that that regardless of that day play, again, once the investment is in, that day play will continue to grow again at modest amounts. We don't expect it to jump overnight. But at a 5%, the 5% really is an increase in the number of rounds that we would see. Over the last 2.5 years, our day play rates have gone up by 25%, by about 25% per year. It's for the last couple of years for day play. Now, at the snapshot, we did project kind of a one-time boost. As I recall, I believe it has an 18% as that snapshot of day play. But that's not a sustainable increase. That's something that has been building over the last couple of years because the course conditions have improved so substantially over the last several years. So we know that there was a blip. And it went up 25% in day play over the last couple of years. And having conversations with Troon prior to their recommendations of the projections forward, we agree that some, you know, reasonable amount, an additional 5% increase in day play over the course of the first 5 years, and then going down to a 2%. And that could be a combination of rounds played and overtime, perhaps some fees that would change as well. So we didn't designate specifically what that would be because that would be a market-driven decision that would be made at the, you know, each year looking at that evaluation. The reason why, so in an 18-hole course compared to a 36-hole course is less to operate the course. It is, and that's very clear in there. But what the consultant did not include in their study is the expected annual operating costs for the non-golf holes. They put investments down, but not that ongoing cost. But if you really think about it, if we add any new park to a town facility, there will be new costs to pay for it. But there's also a benefit to the community because it becomes park space that's open to the community. So there would be an expectation, depending on what that final use would be, whether it would be a passive use, whether it would be an active use. And again, that's why the memorandum has such wide-ranging estimates, is because that would require some deliberation on the part of the council, input on the part of the community, a specific evaluation of the actual locations, you know, with the neighbors in mind, a whole bunch of things that would need to be taken into consideration. But of course, whatever that final is going to require some maintenance. But if you just look at the golf to golf comparison, obviously it costs less to operate an 18-hole golf course than it does a 36-hole golf course. Excuse me, let me adjust that. The net sales tax subsidy support is less for an 18-hole golf course than it is for a 36 if you're just comparing golf to golf.
Have you compared these day play rates with other courses in Tucson?
Yes, I believe that's done on a constant basis, just in terms of wanting to remain competitive. And we really, leave that up to the Troon team over there to be able to monitor what those rates are. But I do know that they compare those regionally to other courses and what they're charging.
I believe Troon did purchase OB Sports, which manages the Tucson City Golf courses. So I would assume that they know what they're doing in the other arm of their business with those rates.
One of the things that would have been very helpful to us would have been the backup detail behind these revenues and expense lines. It makes it very difficult for us to take a look at this thing and see what it's doing.
Mr. Chairman, since you're requesting that, I'd be happy to provide that for you.
What I would like to introduce at this time is a forecast that we've been working on that does start with that detail for discussion purposes.
And just for the record, could you define we?
We meaning Commission Member Kathy and me.
As you discussed at our last meeting.
That's correct. What we wanted to do was to start out with actual, make some assumptions to create a base case.
Mr. Chairman, you really have to lean in.
I'll have to eat the microphone.
You do.
Create a base case for a whole variety of scenarios. Create a series of assumptions that could easily be changed. So we've created a series, meaning Kathy's done the legwork here. She's our spreadsheet guru, not me. So at this point, what I would like to do with other commission members, because we have not been able to distribute this information to other commission members, and with that, I'd like to call on our attorney to explain why we have not been able to do that.
Because, and I'm not going to get into a total discussion of open meeting law, but there's an attorney general opinion that says that is a meeting, an illegal meeting, if one member of a board sends things to other members of the board that's not in the public eye. So you have to present it at an open meeting such as this, where everybody can hear about it and see it at the same time.
So basically what that says is that everybody here is seeing this information for the first time, other than Kathy and myself. So keep in mind, this is first look information.
A draft.
It's a draft. It's designed to be an interactive program in that it can be modified, assumptions can be changed, and that's what it is. It's designed to be a working document to really assist the forecasting that you've done, because it takes a lot of those base numbers that you've already put in here, like different options, for instance, for repurposing parts of the golf course. If you went to 27 holes, or if you went to 18 holes, or if you went to no holes, et cetera, et cetera. So with that, how do we distribute this thing?
Can we talk about it for a few minutes before we distribute it? Because otherwise I know what happens in these meetings, because I'm often sitting there and I look and I go to the back page because I don't care about all the detail. I want to know what's the bottom line. So what I want to make clear on this is our goal with doing this was to help the town make a decision and to look at the financials. And as you know, there's lots of pieces. This is a big giant decision. There's emotion involved. There's a lot of people, a lot of pieces to it that are not just financial. Okay? And we understand that. But our job on this commission is to provide input from a financial perspective to the council. So from that perspective, that's what we attempted to do. As Jim said, during our last meeting, we had a lot of discussion about a lot of different things and kind of arms flying everywhere, and we all realized that we need to have some kind of a framework within which to look at the financials, because we've got numbers coming from Troon, we've got numbers coming from the city, and there's numbers all over the place, and they seemed not to be, we weren't able to bound it, okay? So what our goal was to develop a base case, something that's iterative, something that, you know, if you look at the base case, I could guarantee 100% none of those cases is going to happen, okay? Because it's a forecast, right? And we have to just make some assumptions.
All the numbers are wrong. Town's numbers are wrong. Our numbers are wrong. Everybody's numbers are wrong.
But it's a start, and it's a tool for them to look at. And I just want everyone to understand that every number on there can be changed. It's just a tool. Am I allowed to answer a question?
No.
I'm told I'm not allowed to answer a question.
You cannot. Okay. We're not interactive with the audience. We're
all
interactive
right.
with the commission.
All right.
All right.
Can I start with
yes.
you guys?
Yes. Sure. I have never seen this before,
right.
so
right.
let's
right.
walk
me through it.
Walk me through this, please.
Okay.
And I will ask lots of questions okay. that
I may or may not need answering for to help the audience along.
So the first page to look at is the page that is, and I really want the, can you hear me? Or do we need to wait?
Do you want to wait just a moment until they get distributed?
No. Where's the page? I think I have the one with the three, the actuals. So that was part of the issue, is we as a commission had been, oh, I'm sorry, well, I'll talk about this. The commission was given various sets of numbers from various reports, and I spent a great bit of time trying to reconcile those numbers. And so this was an attempt to put down kind of what our best guess was for those numbers. In some cases, we had true numbers. In some cases, the true numbers, because there was different levels of detail between the true numbers and the Oro Valley numbers, you had to make some assumptions on reconciling them. So there was some inconsistencies. And so, like I said, part of this exercise was I'd like to get with the staff and let's all agree on what's our start point. Let's all agree on what numbers we're looking at.
Sounded like Mary Jenkins had a set of numbers.
Please,
she did.
Please. I'm sorry.
All right. And I'm happy, like I said, to we start looking at this, and if the staff says, well, no, Kathy, you've got it all wrong, then we'll start over. What our attempt to do was to use the format that they use, because that's the way they've been doing it. And that makes sense to us as far as a go-forward position. So the first chart, the past 3 years, we took 2016-17, 17-18, and then we took a forecast for 18-19, which I believe came from the latest forecast that we had at the time we started this.
Yeah, I think that started with the through April actual.
Yeah, and then we bumped it up to the end of the year. And again, any of that can change when we get, that's why I asked, when does the year end?
So that would be the reason why the current 18-19 forecast is lower than the actual forecast.
Correct.
That we were received today.
Yep.
Okay.
That's
yep.
The information we had.
But
to
you got
to
start somewhere.
A month ago.
Again, I might. Yep. I know the answer to the question I'm asking. I'm trying to ask for everyone else.
Okay.
So
what we're looking at is the total revenues. You've got anything golf related. We took out anything non-golf related. So we removed meals, we removed tennis, we removed other costs that were not specifically associated with golf, and other revenues that were not specifically associated with golf. We also took out any of these fund transfers. We took out the sales tax revenue. We just want to look at pure cost. What does it cost for golf? And whatever the answer is, I'm not making a judgment one way or the other. It's our goal is to try to have an open-eye view of what's the cost. And if there's a subsidy, there's a subsidy, but what is it? Let's try to really understand what it is. And like I said, maybe looking at the cost to play, maybe we need to bump it up. Maybe we can bump it up. I mean, there are things to do. Once you have it on paper and you look at it, then you can kind of see what you need to do in order to make the profit or maybe not lose as much or whatever the goal is. But anyway, we started with the 18-19 forecast, and we looked at four options, and it's appearing to us that the four options are 36, you know, keep the 36 course, whole course. We took Push Ridge out of the equation. Go down to 27, which I think is three nines. I'm not a golfer, so I probably will say this all wrong, but that's three nines, or the 18 hole course. And in those two cases, then we have to do something with the land, and I think we used a conservative approach. One of my other issues, I think, with this is I think we really need to understand what are you doing with the land, because that's the second half of the equation. I think it's that's not really addressed in this analysis. We kind of went with the least cost option, and based on numbers from the consultant's report, I believe we took their numbers.
Okay, so to drop a detail in, your numbers to repurpose land from
yes.
holes that you're removing are from the previous council memorandum to council,
and not the most recent one from the town manager.
They come from Mary's May 24 report, where we used a $14,800 per acre cost to sort of get us there.
14.8 per
then
acre.
Different levels of maintenance for the first 5 years versus after that. Again, base case, and that is natural landscape.
Right.
Anything above that would be another set of options.
Right.
Varying kinds that create different levels of expense, different levels of maintenance.
So this would be the least cost scenario.
But it's referring to referencing the May memorandum and not the July 8th memorandum.
Correct. Because that's what we had to start with.
You had to start with. So this is not. Okay. Thank you.
Right.
So I just want to make sure everyone understands that there's been an update from the town for repurposed land that you didn't see.
Yes. And we can update this.
Sure.
You know.
And you're not working on this full time. No one expects you to. So.
No, she was working on it full time for a while.
So what we did was we took the start point, and if you look at the second sheet, I think that's in there. It's called assumptions. And we went through each of the different revenue or expense line items, and so we did it in with a little more granularity than Mary's. We kind of went through all because I couldn't seem to tie it out. So then I have to go back to all the nitty gritty detail, and we developed some assumptions. And here again, it's all iterative, so it can all be changed. If you say no, don't increase the membership cost by 5%, increase them by 10% or 2.5% or whatever. We can change anything.
Before you jump all over us, Dave, the interest expense line on the bottom really should be called debt service.
And that starts with the
numbers that the town provided in terms of what the debt service projection would be.
Again, Mr. Chair, Kathy, no jumping. Thankful for your service to the town. I'm just I know that we're in a situation where the audience doesn't have the opportunity to ask questions, so I'm asking more than I normally would.
Yep.
That's all.
That's fine. Yep. So basically, you can see the sets of assumptions. We assumed 36 holes. The big cost down there, which is about three quarters of the way down, is $3.8 million for irrigation and other capital. I'm not sure that was in, was that not in Mary's analysis?
That's in the town's analysis.
Okay. That bumps up in a 27-hole scenario because there's more work to be done to make that work.
Yep.
So that's why that one was particularly expensive. In each case, let's see, we assumed we continued with a membership for 36 holes and 27 holes. 18 holes, we said the membership concept goes away, and it's just the day play. And so we then had kind of a different set of assumptions for how we came up with the numbers. Basically, 2% was what we used in most cases, unless we knew otherwise. So, for example, payroll, we increased 3%. Benefits, we said benefits are increasing. We bumped that up by 5%. The repurposed costs and maintenance were from the consultant report, or Mary's report.
From the May 24 town report. Times the acreage that would be available to repurpose.
And we had took the going down from 36 to 27 holes, we said we're only going to repurpose 4 holes worth, and we turned that into acres, and we used the 14.8K per acre value. 18 holes, we added another, the balance of the delta, and used the 14.8. And then in the no golf scenario, obviously there's no expenses or anything from golf revenues. It's 5 years at 4.8K per acre, and forward is $2,400 an acre. So obviously out in the you know, once we get through the first 5 years of repurposing it, that's the least cost scenario. Like we mentioned, we didn't assume any parks. We didn't assume any doing anything else with the land. So this is the bare bones. Anything else you would do with that land would cost, and we probably, I think, need to look at that before you make a decision. You know, think about what are you doing with this.
And that would be a council decision as to what they would do with the property. And all we're trying to do is to come up with some economic scenarios that would help drive that decision with the ability of making these changes as necessary.
Can't have membership for 27 holes?
The reason that that is in there, and I'm assuming Dave is asking this question. The consultant study that was done in June of 2017 pointed out to us that if there was a 27-hole scenario with reconfiguration of the course, that there could be a member scenario with a reduction of about 25% of the members that were there, and that's why that is in there as a potential alternative.
But again, we can change that. We can make that a.
Oh, okay, let's stick to the discussion, please.
In the real world, the 27-hole scenario, I think, shows to be the most expensive option that's there in any case.
So basically, we ran through the set of the next 15 years using the assumptions outlined on the assumptions page and ran through kind of a cash flow scenario. And then you can see what your cash outflow cost is going to be for the next 15 years under each scenario if you hold to those assumptions. And that's a start point.
So the one page that we have here is a summary page of that pulls together the spreadsheets for those various options. It just creates a summary.
So what I'm looking here on this page, is your estimate of golf losses per year based on your assumptions included in there.
So that includes all the capital.
So in other words, you're saying there's no amortization of capital over time.
It's
a lump sum.
Cash.
It's cash offer.
It's cash. It's still, even if you amortize, that's the cash outflow. And there are different buckets of money. So that was part of the pulling all this together was rather than the different buckets of money decisions being made separately, pulling it all together so you can look at it in an isolated manner.
Okay.
Does that make sense? It should be a familiar format to you based on the other information provided to us relating to golf.
If your capital costs aren't amortized in your chart expensing them all in June of 2020, why are your operating costs significantly higher than the town's estimates?
No, your capital expenditures take place in a short period of time.
Right. I would expect
the debt service is worked in
to
the number over that 20-year time frame, just like the town.
So that we took based we used Mary's same. We did it the way that Mary's your spreadsheet was, where you calculated the debt service based on the capital in the first year, and that same debt service was carried through for the next 10, 15 years. Is that right?
So the numbers would include the debt service, but does not include any depreciation of any assets to the golf courses.
Again, we tried to mimic what we had seen already from the town. So we kept thing. We tried to keep your same formats.
So if you look in the assumptions line, Dave, and the page earlier, you'll see capital expenditures pushed into 2020. No, next. I'm looking for this. You'll look at capital expenditures being pushed into 2020. And, you know, primarily the $3.9 million for the 36 holes is primarily irrigation systems. The $4.6 million for 27 holes would also have to do with reconfiguration of holes.
I understand.
So you would be borrowing that money,
right?
To pay for the capital.
Yeah, to be able to pay for the capital, and then your debt service would include what the cost of that would be spread out over a 20-year time.
But that... Then why is the 36-hole 2021 number of $2,363,000?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that so different from the year two number of $1.237 million that the town's reporting on?
We don't have the details behind all of the revenue or expense assumptions that are on that. And that's why we need to work on pulling these two things together to make sure that the assumptions or the various options are identical.
I'm just having trouble reconciling these, because the revenues that you're estimating for, say, for 2021 are $2,426,500. Is that right? 2021.
For which option?
36 holes.
Yeah. $2,426,500. That's correct.
And if I look at year two, which would be the corresponding projected 10-year cash flow analyst that Stacy and the staff team has put together, their projected revenues are 3.024.
We don't know where that number came from.
We don't have the details. So what we attempted to do, and I think we got Mary's information after we had already kind of gone down the path with creating this, is we went through each and every line item.
Okay.
And went through assumptions for each and every line item. For example, merchandise, we said that's based on rounds played.
Okay.
They're going to spend, and we looked at how estimated rounds played. What was the average cost per rounds played, and we extrapolated that and then increased it 2% a year for inflation. And so that's all, I think, on the front sheet is all the assumptions.
Yep.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, please.
I just have a question for clarification as I'm going through these numbers as well and trying to understand them as well and follow along. On your first sheet where it shows the last 3 years of actuals for revenues and expenditures, shows the revenues and then the expenditures are below for fiscal year 16, 17, 17, 18, and the 18, 19 forecast.
Yes.
I'm seeing where you removed the revenue related to food and beverage operations from the revenue section.
Correct.
But I'm seeing that the payroll costs and the employee-related costs and some of the other O&M costs still contain the expenses associated with food and beverage.
Then we have to pull that out.
And that's about anywhere from $400,000 to $500,000 of cost. So I just wanted to make sure that I pointed that one out as well.
Exactly. And that's
why we wanted to go through it with you to make sure, right?
Yeah. And that's why we needed the details behind the town's forecast so that we could make sure that our numbers were reflecting those changes.
And in working with Troon on these projections, they specifically removed the food and beverage personnel costs and operations and maintenance related costs to operating the restaurant. And so that's where we relied on their numbers to put that together.
So how can we update this with that? Is there a factor? Do we have the dollars associated with that we can discreetly see?
Yes, I can provide those detailed spreadsheets to you. Okay. Absolutely.
Okay.
Would it be possible to get, and I know this is a very, we're getting into granular measures and really getting into, and I don't want to impede into your day-to-day work as staff, as I appreciate your work, but is there a way to get a little more granularity of these issues so that we can, you know, understand what the financials are outside of the publicly prepared documents listed under the monthly financial reports? I just think, you know, if you're going to make these spreadsheets, you know, available to us, I would assume they're available to the public, and we could have some sort of, you know, more detailed discussion around those if you are. Would that be possible?
Absolutely. You know, we have a number of spreadsheets that we used to compile into the final spreadsheets that are attachments as memos in the PDF format. And so I can provide my Excel spreadsheets that indicate the cell. You can see the cell formulas that demonstrate the assumptions that were included in calculating the numbers.
Okay. That would be helpful.
Yeah, I know we all appreciate the work you do, Stacey, and I really appreciate the work you've done outside, but I don't want to see you waste your time duplicating her work, and if there's a way that you can connect and make right. those documents public and then you have access to it, I think that would be more useful for everyone to you know, use your expertise in this manner.
You have to build these things up from the ground up with the detail.
Right, that's our intent.
Okay, so that's why we try to start with actual and then curve it up to eliminate those things that we didn't think would be on a go-forward basis.
I would have to look a little bit more closely at that. Just having just received these, it looks like they might be.
We might be.
But I will look into that more in more detail.
Well, yeah, maybe other debt service that we don't have in there from, right?
Exactly.
So might be under.
No, our debt service reflects exactly what they
right. But I think there might be debt service from previous. There may be debt service from previous capital expenditures that we don't have included.
Yes, that's correct.
Right? Which would just have to be paid off, I guess.
Yeah, well, when monies are spent, somebody has to pay for it. So,
just to clarify, there shouldn't be any debt service included in the true numbers.
Okay.
Any of the debt service that we have incurred is on the town side.
Right, that
in
would
that
make
fund.
Sense. Yep, mm-hmm. Okay. So all we put in was debt service on the additional capital expenditures.
Yep.
That's correct. That's right. What should be in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Plus the capital expenditures.
It appears.
Debt service on the capital expenditures. So maybe for the first year, we take the debt service out. I don't know. It's
debt service is $120,000,
not $280. I'm sorry, but we can't have an ongoing discussion between members of the audience. Okay.
Well, I used Mary's same.
If I may, and just again a cursory review of this, it appears that you calculated the full expenditure plus the debt service. And what we do is we just included the debt service because that's basically the mortgage payment. So you don't.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
We didn't
got
put
it.
The whole
got
cost
it.
Of
okay.
the house and then the mortgage
yep.
payment. We just did the mortgage payment.
Got it. Okay, you're correct then.
Right.
I guess it's, well, I got to think about that then. Or maybe you take the debt service out and you just put the capital in, right? Because that's the cash going out. Depends on how you look at it, right?
No, the appropriate way would be to expense the debt service over the
right.
lifespan
right.
because the money that comes in is really just the money coming in and going out, and then we're paying that off over 20 years.
Okay, got it. Huge difference. No, you're right.
Only in the first year.
No. It's $150,000 a year.
Well, that's going to stay.
Again, we cannot have discussion going back and forth to the audience. Thank you.
Okay. Well, the intent for this was for us to be able to have something to discuss with the council so that we're all on the same page, which is what we're doing. So thank you.
Is there anything else you want to highlight or me to ask you questions regarding this? Or I would just say kind of poke holes
if there's something that you know, do the top level test, if there's something that doesn't make sense, and we've got a couple things that already we can change.
Okay,
we need to pull out the capital as well as the so either this
Jim, just a real quick question from John here. If you can hear me.
Yes, John, go ahead.
I believe we've now fulfilled the open meeting laws with the distribution of this information. So if someone be so kind as to maybe email me a copy. I will try to do my best to be responsive and get it back to, let's ask that question procedurally. Does it go back through Stacy or to Kathy, so what's the procedure on responses for someone who's not local here at the moment?
John, if you can check your email, I think Stacy just attempted to do that.
Oh, okay.
Kind of tough to follow along without the numbers.
I won't keep you all in abeyance as I try to go through all of this, so go ahead and proceed, and if I can pull it up, I will, and... it may take a while for me to go through all of it.
So, Stacy, if I pull out, I was going to put capital or the repurposed cost and the capital expenditures kind of below the line, but keep the debt service as a contribution to the annual total cost. Does that make sense?
Yes, the debt service should be an annual cost.
Yep. And then I'll just have an FYI below the line for capital for the two pieces.
That's got correct. It. Okay. Yes.
Well, I do apologize. I don't have enough. I think we've poked enough holes that I don't think I can ask any more questions other than say, I think this needs more work, and I assume you're going to work with Stacy and get some more assumptions taken care of. I do definitely like this page a lot. This would be page 2. I'm always in favor of trying to communicate complicated financials in ways that the public can understand, and I think this is a very easy to understand comparatively idea of what the different assumptions are, and just continue on your work. I look forward to seeing more revisions in the future.
Okay. And
is there anything else that we need to discuss regarding this, or that you were looking for?
No, I think we want to make sure we're on the same page as council and the staff. And I can see two changes I need to make, and pulling out the meal cost. We don't have that pulled out separately.
We just want to make sure we've got a good starting point here so that we can boil down a decent set of numbers.
Sure. I have some questions going back to the city's numbers. If you feel satisfied with
yours. It's all the same topic.
I am looking at, again, the projected 10-year cash flow and analysis, Stacy, that you and your team put together here. And I apologize if I should be directing that to Mary and her team. That's okay. Just want to make sure people get their credit where they deserve it. I am looking at the debt service payment for capital, and I'm noticing that the no golf option seems to have a $369,000 capital payment. The 18-hole payments, the 18-hole options are all above that. The 27-hole options, a little bit above, a little bit below, in the same area, and the 36-hole option have the lowest estimated debt service payment. Can you explain why that would be the case, why the 36 holes would be cheaper than removing golf or going to 27 holes?
Or 18 holes.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner, if the way that I presented the information to the town council in these memorandums is, as I mentioned earlier, with a wide variety of options. And so with those options, when you're talking about the potential of not having golf there and repurposing those holes, obviously, and it was stated earlier this evening, a lot more information would need to be there'd need to be a lot more input before a final determination could be made. So what we did as staff is we created three hypothetical scenarios for the repurposing. The first scenario was 100% natural open space, and so we estimated that could be anywhere from 14,800 to $20,000, and we got estimates to back that up. And then the second scenario is 75% open space, or natural open space, 25% what we call park space. With park space, there are obviously a variety of things that could be done. So looking at some of the past investments that we've made, and on a per acre basis, some of the needs that would need to occur if this was an accessible space, it would obviously depend on, would there be play structures, or would there be, you know, would we have to redo the irrigation, ADA access, drainage, and other amenities that could be added. And so the projection was, if natural open space is $15,000 to $20,000 acre, we felt that a $50,000 to $100,000 per acre was a reasonable estimate to pick based on what that could be. Could be on the low end, could be on the high end. So what we did is, and then the last option was a 50-50. And then the estimates show the full breadth of the range of those potential investments, from the very lowest to the very highest. When we put the estimates together for the 10-year, we had to take a snapshot, and it was really hard to do based on a range and have 20 different, you know, potential options of a 10-year forecast. So we just took the midpoint of those ranges, of those estimates. We could go down, we could estimate up. It could be a variety of different things, but that seemed reasonable. It seemed middle of the road, and so since the initial investment, if park space, for example, was at a 50-50 and at $100,000 per acre, of course that would be the highest. It could go as high as $8.1 million. Now I think that's excessive, but it depends on what the community says, and I don't think that it was reasonable for the staff to make that assumption at this point without getting appropriate input from the council, but to really sort of demonstrate the art of the possible. So that's really the reason why those numbers are higher versus others. But debt service could be taken out completely in the side-by-side comparison of the costs, and could be evaluated separately. Okay. And then some other estimates could be made on what that debt service could be. We could do one at the for debt service alone, we could do one at the lowest, one at the 25% level, one at the 50, one at 75, and I mean that wouldn't be that hard to do in terms of estimates for the cost of the debt service payment for it. So that's the reason why the wide variety of or why those capital investments are.
Okay, when going back to the estimates of repurposing the land and natural space, a lot of that land, when you look at the consultant's report from 2017, exists in floodplains and consists of the drainage areas and the washes. Were those? Can you give us some information about how the numbers to maintain those moving forward were looked at? Were they just given a, were those under consideration on and included into your formulas on how to maintain that area?
The estimates for maintenance were developed by our parks superintendent, and he has a considerable amount of experience based on our own experience and costs for maintaining different types of open space. And they really are our best estimates based on town staff doing the work. And so those could change depending on what it is, depending on what the plantings are. But, you know, I think as Commissioner Silverson mentioned, you got to start somewhere. And that's really sort of where we are, which is we needed to come up with reasonable estimates that are fair, that are conservative, and realistic. And I think that that's what our spreadsheets attempted to do.
Okay. Thank you. One more question, and then I'll let you two and our remote member jump back in. Last meeting, Stacy, you indicated that you had done that research and found the utility charges that were being rolled into the Gulf Cost Center in exchange for memberships at the community center, the maintenance, and the shared space. And that came out to about $14,500 a month or $175,000 a year. Is that correct?
Yes, I believe I recall that, yes.
Okay, thank you. Have we done any research when comparing the no-golf option on what the market rate is to re... And I don't want to... I'll just use it as a rent payment, just because that seems to be the easiest way I can wrap myself around it. If we were to not have golf, obviously we would not have a vendor to share those maintenance costs and the utility costs or rent. Do we have an idea what the market rate would be for a nonprofit that would fit inside of a community center model to take that space, whether it's a dance studio, a music collective, some sort of art co-op or other things? How would we replace that $175,000 that's being billed to golf for that rent payment? What kind of additional charges would we have, might we have on the community center side if golf disappeared?
We haven't done a market analysis as to what the value of that space would be. That's certainly an option. I think my recommendation that I stated in the memo is really this is kind of a cascade process. Mm-hmm. The determination of what happens with that then begins to determine what happens at the community center facility. I think, as you know, the town included in the current fiscal year budget a comprehensive needs assessment, parks and recreation needs assessment. So that might be a great opportunity to first find out what is it that the community would desire at the community center before we determine whether or not any of that space would appropriately be available for non-town uses.
Okay, I'll step back for a bit.
One of the things that is confusing to us in putting together this forecast is this huge utility expense, and specifically the cost of reclaimed water. Can we assume that the town's utility purchases this water and then resells it to water the golf courses? And what actually is the financial impact to the town if one or more or all of the golf courses would be closed and there would be a substantial reduction in the actual consumption of that reclaimed water?
Mr. Chairman, first of all, to answer your first question, the town does not own the reclaimed water, so we have to purchase it from the city of Tucson at the rate that they set. So that is not many other golf courses across the state. Their communities run their own, they operate their own sewer plant, and so therefore they own their reclaimed water, and they are able then to for example, the county gets a certain amount of effluent per their agreement with the city of Tucson that they make available to use on their property, which is their Crooked Tree Golf Course. We don't own that effluent. A lot of other communities do. Other communities also subsidize their it's very common for reclaimed water to be, quote, contributed by potable water users because there's a benefit to the system by bringing in reclaimed water to do that. Our water utility director has been working with his staff over the last 6 weeks to develop a new model, which is basically what we had to do, a new projection model. And in fact, we hope to be able to give that to council here within the next couple of days, and I've alerted the council to that. So so without knowing you know, what those finals are, but that information is being made available to the council. And as I mentioned in the memo, there would be an impact to whether or not if the town went to 18 holes or no golf, less so with a 27 hole option because it wouldn't be quite as big. But what that is, I'm waiting to get that information from the water utility director soon.
So can we also assume that he will do the analysis for the reduced water consumption for the improved irrigation systems too, assuming we kept 36 holes?
Those are, yes, and the, you know, we're estimating about a 15% reduction. Those are nominal that can end up being adjusted and he has evaluated that. So it's the big users. As you know, we don't have a lot of users on the reclaimed water. The town of Oro Valley is a big one at 36 holes. The Views Golf Course in Sun City is another user, Stone Canyon Golf Course, and then the school district has a couple of properties that use some reclaimed water, and then we also use it at Naranja Park as well. So those are our big users right now.
Do you have any idea at this point what type of a markup they have, or is it a pass-through type of a situation?
I would hesitate to ask that question. I think that's more appropriate for our water utility director to answer.
Okay.
Talking about water, I have a question on irrigation. How often do you need to replace irrigation on a golf course? How long does it last?
Troon estimates that an irrigation system has about a 25 to 30 year shelf life.
Okay.
So we would estimate that if this one lasted for 30 years and materials are better,
okay.
I think 30 years is a fair assumption.
Okay. So as soon as you retire your debt service, you're doing
it. Mr. Chair, if I could ask a question when you have a moment.
Yes, John, go ahead.
Thank you. First, I did receive the information. Thank you very much, Stacy, for doing that. And Kathy, I thank you for all the work you're putting into that. I promise I'll give that a good look. Because I haven't had a chance of looking at Kathy's work, I'll just for the moment, like David, focus on what was distributed to us by staff. And so a question for Ms. Jacobs and Ms. Lemus, if as we began to look at the various options that you put together, I noted that you did put aside any impact that the restaurant, the Overlook restaurant, may have on any of these options. And I believe, if I recall right, currently the net loss is somewhere between $100,000 and $150,000 a year. Similarly, we also put aside from the options any consideration for the impact that Push Ridge may have. And I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that the net carry there is somewhere in the area of $200,000. And if there is some sense to keeping that aside initially until you get down to the discussion that I'm sure that the council will have, and that is, what do we need from the sales tax support to be able to make the entire operation break even. And the restaurant and Push Ridge will need to be tied back into that discussion at that time. And I'm wondering whether that will happen or whether what the thought was to present it this way, and when does it get reintroduced?
If I may, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Thank please. You. The reason why we pulled out the restaurant operation is, for the record, the sales tax support for food and beverage has been about $100,000 a year. Depending on the final decision and investments in the community center for an upgraded, potentially relocated restaurant, we believe that that there is a strong opportunity, again, depending on the final decision, to with a renovated facility. And folks have been to the Overlook restaurant. That's a large space. It doesn't need to be that large. And so, as you know, my recommendation last year to the council regarding the facility, the community center facility, was to relocate the restaurant downstairs, shrink it in size, and we strongly feel that we could likely get a lessor that would allow for that restaurant operation to break even. With an alternate, for example, with an 18-hole option, there may be an opportunity to shrink it even smaller. And again, could lease it out to an operator. And with a no golf option, there likely wouldn't be a reason to have food and beverage at the community center at all. So that was really the reason for kind of leaving it as a one of those cascading decisions that would happen after some determination was made for golf. If there continues to be golf at the facility, my recommendation is that food and beverage is an important component. People come to a golf course, they want to be able to get a bite afterwards, have a beer, enjoy with their friends. But obviously those are decisions that would need to be made in the future.
Yeah, and so at some point, you're absolutely right, that decision will have to be made as to what eventually will happen with it. But as we sit here and look at the various options, won't we have to keep in mind that an option may be to continue as is, and we'll have to provide some support for the restaurant operation there? I mean, eventually, won't we have to tie that back in before we make that final decision to make sure we're covering all the bases?
I would concur.
And the same goes with Push Ridge. I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Yes, I would concur with that.
And the same with Push Ridge. I mean, the options that are shown at the bottom of the one-pager that you develop, we're talking about potentially a $900,000 investment into that facility. I'm not sure how that gets brought into the equation, but it's something to keep in mind as we're beginning to look at these various options if we're starting about talking about that amount of material money.
Yes, sir. Regarding the Push golf course, that facility again, and I mentioned this in my backup material to council, it's very difficult to pull out every single cost for Push because the staff that works on the other 36 holes also does the work on the Push Ridge course. So it's estimated that could continue under a 36-hole and a 27-hole option, that with the staff reductions planned or projected for the 18-hole, that probably an additional person would be dedicated if the town continued to operate an 18-hole and the Push course, so that tax support would go up slightly by another $40,000. The unique difference with the Push course is that the not unique as you know, HSL does have an option to lease the facility if the town determines to discontinue golf at that location.
That would be a separate discussion from another time, I believe. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else, John?
No, I thank you for the answer.
Another quick question on Push Ridge. If Push Ridge is kept open, is the town going to be forced to convert it from potable water to reclaimed water?
Mr. Chairman, no. And the reason why is because the town has no plans to extend reclaimed water in that location. It's cost prohibitive, and it wouldn't pencil out in the long run. So that facility will continue to remain on potable water.
With regard to potable water, has there been any long-term assessment of the city's desire to run their own wastewater plant to generate its own effluent and reclaimed water?
The town of Oro Valley is a part of the regional sewer system with Pima County, and so we have an agreement with Pima County regarding that. So, no, there's no plans to operate our own facility.
Are there any other questions?
I'm just wondering, is there anything else that we can provide you with or any other ways of looking at it that would be helpful, Mayor?
I want to express my appreciation to the commission, specifically to the chair and Commissioner Salverson for your work in pulling together this base case and these assumptions and providing these tables. I think it adds to the conversation, and I appreciate the dialogue between yourself and staff, the promise to provide additional information so that there's not this duplicity of effort. I think all of this helps lead us to a more robust and informed conversation about our golf courses so that we can make the best decision possible. So thank you. I just want to add, you asked Commissioner Salverson about the irrigation system in the National Golf Foundation study. They do provide a
Mr. Mayor?
I'm out of line.
You're out of line, sorry.
Which
I liked the part before. It was really
okay, all right. Well, apparently I stepped out of bounds there. But,
Our policeman has struck again. David, did you have something?
I do have something. And before I get started, I'm going to try to share this document with Stacy so she can get it to all of our members, and I have some copies here. I'm going to make sure I share this document with Stacy so she can get it to all of our members as soon as I get this here. Stacy, do you have an email address you'd like me to share this with through Google Docs?
S. Lemos at OroValleyAZ.gov. G-O-V. Okay.
Hopefully no one will send her lots of spam with that. Okay. You don't. Okay. Hopefully that gets there. Hopefully that gets there and you can discuss it. I've done a lot of work analyzing golf over the last few years. I'll disclose that I live on the golf course. My family is a member of the golf course. I do not golf. My daughters do. And there are things in this town's financial status that scare me, and golf is not one of them. Golf is, I think, all of these options given to us by the town, fulfill the council directive to reduce the golf subsidy.
And I'm looking at two of them specifically based on the proposal from the 10-year consolidated as being relatively equal in value to the town in cost. And that would, and I would hope that we could continue focusing on the things we can't afford, or at least not afford less, if you can imagine. And from the town's estimates, which I assume is done in the best interests of the town to get factual information, to me, the two options to really consider are the 36-hole option and a no-golf option with no parks. And I think there are reasons to do both. As a parent, one of the things that I focused on early with my children was a very basic rule we had, is that, yes, I like saying yes a lot to my kids. And yes, I like saying they can have dessert. But the two rules in our house regarding dessert are, has to be after lunch, and you have to eat your vegetables. And I would not have voted in 2015 to purchase this course. I think it's the due diligence was not done. It is behind us. We have to move forward. And in my opinion, golf and the community center is the dessert. The vegetables for this town is the police pension retirement deficit that we have that I think, and I don't want to speak for you directly, but I think scares everyone up on this dais as truly scary in the size of it. When I have tried to solve problems in my life, I have always tried to find ways to build consensuses that say yes, that allow people to come up with compromises that allow people to say, yes, I get this. And I have a proposal here that I'm going to pass to my members and staff can get off on a path forward. I think I'd really like the committee and the council to investigate as something that will have long-term benefit to the town, to not just get to a conclusion on golf, but to make sure in the future we eat our vegetables before we order more dessert and make sure that we solve the problems we have.
Is this an item for golf, or is this a future
This is a specific resolution for golf.
Okay. Yeah, just remember, please don't get into the pension. It wasn't agendized. So
I'll pass this out. And we'll let you figure out if it's legal to discuss this evening.
Do we see it?
I'll let them. I believe the copies were made and we can go from there. It's two pages. And copies, Stacy made copies. And I do know that there are a lot of people who have been working on this issue, and I appreciate their work. When I tried to put this together and bring a lot of different things, I'm not going to take credit for the ideas here. But what I am going to do is acknowledge that almost all of these ideas come from other people. And I think there's a great desire in the community from lots of people from lots of different perspectives to come to a solution here. And I hope that this can be a way forward. They do need their copies. And did you share that with?
Yes, to me.
So before speaking more, I'll wait for the attorney to let me know if it's legally allowable to discuss this moving forward. And I apologize, Mr. Chair, the lawyer. with all my copies to help disseminate, so you don't get any preview.
They do. Well, these two don't. They need copies. I have copies.
You need a copy too, though.
You need a copy.
And again, I apologize for some of the language. Last night I drove home from Palm Springs from family vacation to be here tonight, and an epiphany came to me while I was trying to work this out in my mind. Woke up this morning and wrote this up as best as I could. Haven't had a chance to discuss it with anybody, to be clear. After this meeting, hopefully we won't be discussing this too long because I need to be back in Palm Springs for the morning and have a drive in front of me. And again, Mr. Attorney, feel free to let me know if this is a no-go.
It looks good.
It looks good? I'm okay? All right. It's creative. Again, I'm trying to solve multiple problems with one thing. And again, we'll see what this goes. Mr. Chair, I move.
I'm going to stop this until we have...
Oh, we don't have a copy. Are those the copies?
I think everyone but them have.
Well, that's no good.
Exactly.
Everyone but the chair.
Okay.
And if I have an eventual second, I'll speak to this a little bit more than vegetables and dessert. I move that the Oro Valley Budget and Finance Committee adopt the following resolution. Be it resolved that the Oro Valley Budget and Finance Committee support the 36-hole configuration of the El Conquistador as the most viable financial option upon adoption of the following conditions. Number one. The Town of Oro Valley and the La Cañada Neighborhood Association enter into a contractual intergovernmental agreement binding each other to the following terms. A yearly payment of at least $200,000 from La Cañada Neighborhood Association to the City of Oro Valley to subsidize the operation of 36 holes. B, a restriction of money spent out of the Oro Valley Community Center Fund for only the following purposes. Number one, a set schedule of payments to the Oro Valley PSPRS Trust Fund to total at least $15 million over the next 15 years, see Associated Table 1, Row 14, or until the funding level of Oro Valley's trust fund is over 90%, utilizing at least 75% of the positive cash flow of the fund. Two, operation, maintenance, and council-approved capital projects for the community center. Three, operation, maintenance, and bond payments for the El Conquistador Golf Course, as detailed in the 36-hole configuration option. Four, repayment of any loaned money from the general fund. C, the passage of a pedestrian access control ordinance by the town of Oro Valley regulating public use and hours of golf, cart paths, and dedicated pedestrian trails. D, granted easement rights from the La Cañada Neighborhood Association to the town of Oro Valley for public access to traverse neighborhood-owned streets while abiding by the above pedestrian access ordinance. E, the creation of a dedicated, scenic, and golf ball-safe walking trail maneuvering through the La Cañada golf course connecting the Oro Valley Library, a close nexus to Naranja Park, and the Canyon del Oro with a pedestrian crosswalk traversing Lambert Drive. F, the creation of a dedicated, scenic, and golf ball-safe walking trail maneuvering from West Lambert Lane Park through the El Conquistador Golf Course to the Community Center and then north to Naranja Drive. Number two, the operation of the El Conquistador Golf Course shall be run as a 36-hole public play facility, giving the public full access to reserve tee times 3 days in advance on both courses, assuming availability, and at least 7 days in advance on at least one course. A, any decision to sell a yearly or seasonal golf pass, a discounted rate punch card, or other revenue inducements should be left to the contracted golf operator. Such marketing programs may include offering an extended booking window on the second public 18-hole course, as well as offer additional benefits as deemed appropriate by the contracted golf operator. These might include food, beverage, merchandise discounts, access to events, reduced green fees, or access to play on other courses managed by the golf operator and others. Three, that the contracted golf operator shall make a yearly report to the City Council on any and all activities with its youth golf programs. Metrics to be delivered should include a detailed number of rounds played by juniors, camps offered, support and course access given to local school districts, clinic attendees, group lesson counts, first tee involvement, PGA Junior League teams, number, size, and scope of junior tournaments hosted, and an analysis of the junior golf participation with respect to gender. 4, that by the base year of operations, here assumed to be the 2022-2023 budget year, the town of Oro Valley will complete a master plan for the Oro Valley Community Center.
So this is a motion, Dave?
This is a motion. I'm seeking a second so I can speak to the details.
I think we need a discussion first.
We can't talk about it unless we have a second.
You can't talk about it unless you have a second.
Can I second it so that we can discuss as opposed to seconding adopting the resolution?
Yes.
Okay. You may do that.
Okay. So as I said earlier, I think looking over the town's documents, the two least bad financial options moving forward appear to be a 36-hole option, as listed by the town document I mentioned, which was the 10-year form, as well as a no golf, no park option, just open space. They appear to be roughly the same. As we know, I've received certified mail from La Cunada neighborhood associations, lots of people. I know we've received memos before detailing the possibility of a $200,000 supplement that might be paid by the neighborhood association. With that payment, according to the town's documents, that is the cheapest solution, and that provides the most available, most reduction of golf subsidy of the options listed, according to the town's documents, the finances. As I said before, what scares me is not future losses in golf. What scares me more is having the possibility of we have a large financial fund. It's going to be growing in revenue because our economy is going to be growing. We're going to have more and more desire to spend this money on parks or an outdoor amphitheater or other amenities. And what we really need to do and what this town really needs to do is dedicate that growing resource moving forward to that pension fund. And I think this is a unique opportunity for the town and the communities and the community to solve both problems at once, is to bind the town with that intergovernmental agreement so that they can't build that outdoor amphitheater. They can't build a performing arts center. They can't build the next thing until they eat their vegetables and we get this under control in a place that makes sense for us. I've really put some time into it. I think this is a good compromise. It fulfills the council's goals, and it solves what to me is the not just has eaten up most of the time of the town over the last few years, but it also puts us a good way to solve the problem that is what the focus of the town should be, which is a very scary pension fund.
Again, I'm going to have to say we can't talk about the pension fund. Basically, what you're doing is recommending a 36-hole option. Is that correct?
With the given stipulation listed here.
Okay. All right. Once again, please don't talk about pension fund. It was not agendized. Don't get us in trouble.
So, question to you: Can if this was on the agenda, could these two things be tied?
The two could be tied if it was advertised as a public meeting on both of those items. But it wasn't. So
my motion is out.
That being said.
No, your motion is basically to approve 36 holes, and the rest of it is stuff.
Okay. So we're in discussion right now.
Yes. You're in discussion.
I don't think we have adequate financial information that shows us the 36 holes is a viable option versus other alternatives. That's issue one for me. Issue two is I think we need more time to pull these financial statements together. As we've seen today, we do have some wide gaps between the forecasts. And what I would propose is that at our August meeting, we pull the forecasted information together and include additional discussions, future agenda items, to include pension funds.
So if you're Mr. Chair, this is John here. Yep.
Yes, John, go ahead.
I won't be able to vote on this since I haven't received the motion. So I will need to see that. Also, I had difficulty in hearing Dave when he was making his explanation. I did get the vegetable part.
He likes spinach. That's the bottom line.
But I, unfortunately, we had some audio problems here. I think that one of the things that we started out in this meeting is that we were reviewing staff's recommendations and their analysis work. Kathy put together a significant amount of work, which I haven't had a chance to review. I would like to see where we wind up with Kathy's work. If by way of example, hers mirrors what has been done by the town, I think there's a clear path to follow. If by way that there's a differentiation, then we'll have some idea. I think the council's looking for this commission to come up with a recommendation of the numbers, and I don't know if we're there yet.
I agree. I think we've got some more work to be done, but I think we will be in sync and we will get there. And I also think this is just one tool. That's one piece of the equation. Is it just a financial answer, or is there other pieces to it? I think there's probably other pieces to it. I think looking at this is a really interesting creative approach. That's interesting to me. I know we're not supposed to talk about the other issue, but I'm very concerned about the other issues. So anything that ties in, I'm not sure I'm ready to. I have to read this through and think about it before I'd be ready to commit to something like that.
Would you be prepared to pull this resolution and
I'm happy pull it to pull
for
my
the
motion
discussion at the August meeting?
I am happy to pull my motion if that is the chair would prefer. That would theoretically.
You can pull it, but usually it's better to just continue it.
Continue it.
The item until that period of time.
Let's just continue it to the next meeting, and that allows me to get on the road to.
Okay. Are you continuing
Palm Springs,
the entire item, then?
We'll just continue the entire.
Well, and I want you to go through these. I'm trying to reconcile this to these numbers, and I don't know how much it costs to do all these things, and is that included in the spreadsheet?
So to walk through here on my spreadsheet, which I apologize, is on three sheets. I assumed a base year in 2022-2023 of both courses being filled. Budget year 2021 would be the first renovation of the first course, 21-22 the second renovation of the second course. And in 2019-2020 would be the first payment coming from the HOA to make the contribution. Specifically, you'll notice I'm using the town's numbers for the base year 1 through 10 with regards to projected revenue, projected expenses, the golf deficit. I include the HOA contribution as something that would reduce the projected golf operating subsidy. The debt service is what was provided, again, on the 10-year from Stacy and team. I included also the loan payments to the general fund, which Stacy, I believe, end in 2000. Do I have the right year there? They would end in the 26-27 fiscal year?
I believe that's right, yes.
Okay. So you have the $254,000 loan payments coming off of the general fund. I asked the 2.5% growth listed for the community center sales tax receipts was a recommendation of the historical growth that Stacy has seen. So I just multiplied 2.5% growth out to get the $2.4 million that grows into $3.308 million. We have, we're estimated to have a $354,000 fund balance at the end of this year. Looking at what the annual golf subsidy would be with the community center sales tax, and assuming that the community center itself continues to operate as a break-even proposition, I have a what the detail of that potential fund balance would be moving forward. And as you can see, as we get to year 2024, 2025, those numbers that are sitting in the fund balance on a yearly basis get fairly large. And it scares me to talk about parks that we can't afford because we have other needs, which I can't talk about. And I would prefer that we find a way to handcuff councils to making sure that we do the right thing with that money instead. And I can't talk about the bottom three lines. So we'll just go from there. Does that answer your questions for a basic summary of where I got that information? Mm-hmm. It's all coming from Stacy through one line or another. So thank you very much for your assistance.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Just to clarify on the loan payments to the general fund, that amount, $254,000, really only $120,000 of that amount is the loan to the general fund payback, and then the balance of that amount is our debt service amount that we pay on the bonds that we issued to do the energy efficiency project.
I wondered about that. Okay.
And those are the same. Those clear off in the same year.
The debt service payments on the bond go out another 6 years beyond the payback for the general fund.
Okay.
So roughly $135,000
continues on through year
for the rest of this time frame, as he's projected.
Which still allows me to get to the $15 million number that I'm not allowed to talk about.
So you're lumping in the community center with the golf with everything all together,
yes.
Keeping it all together. This purpose of this.
Yes. And the reason I do that is although I understand that we're here to talk about golf, and the goal for this year on the council was to reduce the golf subsidy, I just think it's extremely financially inappropriate for us to reduce the golf subsidy in such a way that we increase the subsidy to something else we can't afford. I just feel that there are things we have to attack first. And I said at the beginning of this, and I think I'm on the record at our last two meetings, that I was going to support the configuration that yielded the most savings to the community center fund, and I believe that this does that.
Technically, what do we need to do to move this into the August meeting?
Mr. Chair, if you would like to just go ahead and move to continue this item, and then we will go ahead and calendar it for the agenda for your August meeting.
Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. It's moved to August, and that'll give us time to refine some of our golf projections and pull up some other data for other things.
Mr. Chair, is there anything else on our agenda?
We do have future agenda items, but I think August is full.
You do have item four, which is the possible cancellation of the meeting for August 20th you need to vote on.
Okay.
So it sounds like we have work to do and you do not wish to cancel on August 20th?
That would be my recommendation.
Okay. Then I don't think we need to make a motion to not cancel a meeting if it's already on the calendar.
It's on the calendar. John, can you hear? We're meeting in August.
I got that. Thank you, sir.
And just for clarification, you did want this advertised in such a way that you could bring up another item. Okay.
Yes, please.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else on our agenda, Mr. Chair?
I don't think so. Can I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.